ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानम्, ज्ञानिनः सत्त्वदर्शनः सम्पूर्णः। Telling how can one arrive at the transcendental knowledge? What is the procedure for achieving the transcendental knowledge? In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he has given 64 principles of devotional service. And the first and foremost principle in that is Adau Guru Padashray. That's the first instruction of Rupa Goswami. Adau Guru Padashray means one should surrender to the lotus feet of a spiritual master. So one wants to gain transcendental knowledge. That's how he begins the instructions, and from there on he gives many, many instructions after that. So this is a very, very vast topic. I believe we may take two or three classes to digest the substance of this shloka. The path of spiritual life is very difficult. It is said in the Upanishad, Shurasya Dara Kavyo Vadanti. It is said. Shurasya Dara means the sword, it's like a sword. Walking on the edge of a sword. The spiritual life is like that. So, one has to first of all understand what is the need of a spiritual master. Who needs a spiritual master? Throughout the Shastras we find so many great souls approaching spiritual masters. Anybody can give some example? You tell me of instances where somebody approaches a spiritual master for a shelter, for knowledge. Huh? Oh, Ekalavya, he approached but he was rejected because he was a misfit. He didn't surrender in a proper mood. Yeah. Actually, Ekalavya, I would like to make one small clarification point. Ekalavya wanted Dronacharya only for increasing his own name and fame, for his own self-aggrandizement, as you call it. So, he wanted to increase his name and fame, so he wanted a guru. And it was immediately detected by Dronacharya. And he said, no, I won't accept you. Huh? So, I want examples of disciples who surrendered very nicely. Arjuna surrendering to Krishna, very good. Wasn't he surrendering to? Babaji. Ramachara surrendering to? Ramanacharya. Bas, Narsimhadas Thakur surrendering to? Bapanath Goswami, correct. Very nice example. Somebody else has another example? Is he going to say Shukha? Okay, Krishna Balaram. Sandipani Muni. Yes. Prabhupada surrendering to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So these are all very vivid examples. One example Nana has given, which I wanted to talk with elaborately today. Vidari Sandra also is very wonderful. Vidari surrendered to Narada Muni. Dhruva surrendered to Narada also. Parikshit Maharaj surrendered to Shukadeva Goswami. That's very exemplary also. Sanatana Goswami, this is a very exemplary example, very powerful example. Sanatana Goswami surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very good. And still nobody has caught that. I believe none of you will be able to caught, unless I tell you, you're not wrong there. Now you have exhausted all the examples, huh? Brahma surrendering to Krishna, I say, okay. Anybody else has any other examples left out? That has caught already. Ajaymani caught it. Draupadi also was a great devotee of Krishna. But she didn't take any direct instructions from Krishna. Yes, that was example. That was only one bastard. So that many of us may not have thought of it so deeply, but Devotee surrender to Krishna, surrender to Kapila is considered exemplary. Because Devotee was the mother of Kapila. Lord Kapila is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He appeared into this world and she knew that her son is not an ordinary son. So after the father left for the vanvas, she approached her son and asked many wonderful questions that are generally supposed to be asked by a disciple. She asked her son some 3-4 questions, very nice questions she asked. So some of that we will discuss today. She asked the question, Nirvinna Nitaram Bhuman Asat Indriya Tarshanat Yena Sambhavya Manena Papannandam Tamakrabho. She told him, Nirvinna, meaning of Nirvinna is disgusting. Nirvinna Nitaram Bhuman Asat Indriya Tarshanat. She is telling, my dear Lord, because of the disturbance caused by my senses, I feel as if it is disgusting. And she is telling, because of this kind of disturbance, I have fallen into an abyss of ignorance. So what is the solution for me? So she asked this question in a very straightforward way. Everyone wandering in this world is disturbed in their mind and disturbed by their senses. And they are constantly tormented at every point of their life. This material world is such that it doesn't allow a person to live peacefully. At every point of time, there is some problem or other that comes in their life. Srila Prabhupada writes how material life means a man is after a woman, or a woman is after a man. This is material life. And there is a kind of basic attraction developed between the two, which is existing, invisible. Everyone knows about it. It is not only in the human society. It is there in the birds. It is there in cats, dogs. It is there even amongst demigods. Such a powerful attraction. And this forms the basis for material creation. Human beings may call it by any name. They may call it romance. They may call it love. They may call it by any name. But ultimately this attraction is one thing which plunges a person into more and more entanglement in the material world. And when a person is trapped in this kind of attraction, he may even become insane. Just like a great poet Rousseau, he said when a person writes a letter of love, he may begin the letter without knowing what he is going to write, and he may end the letter without knowing what he had written. It's a blind letter. So some people say love is blind. That's why they write letters blindly. But there is a famous proverb in English. Love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. So, of course, this slogan is often said in English. For those karmis who enter into life without understanding what is life all about. So material life means man has an attraction for woman and woman has attraction for man. And when they come closer, this attraction develops further and further. Pumshah Sriya Mithuni Bhava Metam Tayor Mito Hridaya Granthi Mahuhu. Hridaya Granthi means a hard knot of material existence that is formed. And the more they come closer, then the further other requirements come, one after the other. Then they need a privacy. Then they need an apartment. And after that they have to earn more money for their own maintenance. And then it is said in a house where there are no children, the house is considered a shunya. Marriage life is frustrated without children. So naturally one needs children. So you beget children, but then when you beget children you have to educate them, isn't it? So you have to raise them in education and bring them to a responsible position. So a man gradually observes that his responsibilities increase more and more and more. So there is a famous saying of Chanakya. He says, Rinakarta Pita Shatru. He says, Rinakarta Pita Shatru, Mata Yadacharini, Rupavati Bharya Shatru, Putra Shatru Apandita. He says, the father who is a debtor becomes a great enemy to the son. And he says, and if the mother has a paramour relationship, illicit relationship with somebody, then she becomes an enemy to the house and to the children. And if a wife is a beautiful wife, she becomes an enemy to the husband because she may become a big stumbling block in the path of his self-realization. And then he says, and the son who is a fool, according to the means who is not educated in spiritual knowledge, such a son becomes a great burden to the house. So in this way, one will observe that in material life, one is tormented by so many different types of troubles. One will see that there are so many responsibilities that come like waves of the ocean, one after the other. One will observe that one has to take care of the old parents, and mother has to be operated, and father is not even able to move from the bed. He has to be attended to, he is passing urine and stool in the bed. And wife has a long list of items to be bought, and salary is not enough. He has to do overwork and get more money to fulfill the requirements of the family. And children will come from the school, they need books, they need uniforms, they need big capitation fee nowadays to admit them in the school, like that. And when you go to office, there are so many people to pull you on all directions, pull you down, not allow you to get promotion. So one is constantly tormented in one's life, and this can be very easily observed by anybody. That is why the material life is sometimes compared to a person who is thrown into the middle of an ocean. When you are thrown into the middle of an ocean, is it a comfortable situation? Very uncomfortable situation. Even if you know swimming, even if you know very good swimming, of course you can somehow swim and survive in the ocean. Somehow you may survive, but is it a comfortable position? There is nothing but struggle. It is simply struggle. The beginning is struggle, middle is struggle, end is struggle. It's always struggle. So such a person has to find the other end of the ocean, which is the shore. So the man who knows swimming may be able to somehow survive. In the same way, in this material world, at every point of time, one is trying to counteract the varieties of miseries that come one after the other in life. You think children need free, immediately get some money and somehow you adjust the situation. When you adjust, you have to make that adjustment. And your life, entire life goes on, goes off completely in making this adjustment. And you can see that. And you don't know where are the problems coming from, one after other, uninvited. They keep coming in that way. So the man, as he struggles in the middle of the ocean, the person in this material world also constantly feels suffocation. He is constantly struggling. And no one can remain permanently peacefully staying in this material world. At every point of time, one is made to struggle very hard. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you become frustrated, sometimes you enjoy. It is called as Kurvan Dukkha Pratikaram Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. And he said, Viheshu Kuta Dharmeshu. And at home there may be politics, and people may be, like for example, if somebody, even after becoming devotee, sometimes people have problems. Like three brothers, if they are devotees, they get married. Then the wife of the second husband will say, see your first husband. He goes to the temple once a month only. Why are you going every week? As you say, see, he's got a car. What about you? You are driving a bike. You are driving a moped. Where did you get a car? So even amongst devotees, such tendencies can come. Viveshu Kuta Dharmeshu. House is full of politics. That is why nowadays you don't find joint families. It's very rare to see. Ancient times there were joint families and people somehow could survive together because there were elderly people to give them good advice. Nowadays, even brothers, even if they live in the neighboring houses, they don't look at each other's face. Only when there is a crisis that attacks the home, then they may combine together to fight back. After that, they will again remain like cat and rat. Again. So we see that in such a home filled with politics, he says, Kurvan Dukkha Pratikaram Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. Manyate means to imagine or to accept. So he says, Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. What do you think of Sukha? Kurvan Dukkha Pratikaram. Counteraction of misery is considered to be happiness. This is the kind of happiness that one gets. So, in this way, one is put into varieties of trials and tribulations, and one is constantly struggling. Right from Brahma down to the smallest insect, nobody can live peacefully in this world. At every moment they are troubled. It is seen that you are somehow or other put into some kind of trouble, and you have to struggle to survive. And besides struggling to survive, you will see the competition for becoming bigger and bigger. Right from Brahma down to ant, everyone has this same tendency. Prabhupada gives the example. Just like in a train, sometimes you are going to travel from here to Lonavala. How much time is that? 1 hour? just in our journey. But sometimes you see a great quarrel coming up between people. A great quarrel breaks out in the train. Who will sit in the seat? Somebody says, I came first, and another one says, I came first. They both shout at each other and call ill names. But intelligent person knows, after all, it's only 1 hour journey. What is the use of fighting? Let me just tolerate this pain of standing on the one. Whereas fools, they fight for the place. In the same way, our life is temporary. Everyone is going to be after the, after quit this world. Life is a 60 years journey or 70 years journey, like that. So people who understand this fact will not compete with others. But other people, their entire life goes off in competition. Throughout their life, it's like that. So the nature is gradually making everyone old in the form of inevitable eternal time. You all can see how your childhood has passed away so quickly. Your youth has passed away. Now the body is growing old very fastly. So the nature tells a man, now you are 60 years. Enough of all the struggle now. Now you become detached. Enough of all the prakritisthani karshati. Karshati means to fight against the material nature. Enough of all the fight you have done. Enough is enough. Now you panchasvargam vanam vrajet. Now you become detached and you take the vanaprastha. And you practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. This is the warning given in the Vedas. So, in this way, nature itself wants a person through the different symptoms of the body that manifest in the body. The body will not cooperate with you when you grow old. Just like a father sometimes takes the children to the beach to play for some time. And then the children will be making some houses. And the father will say, now it is 6 o'clock, come. All of the children come, you have to go back home now. In the same way, the Vedas are giving a warning. Okay, now enough of your struggle. Now you take the Krishna consciousness and become detached. The guru who teaches this type of detachment is the real guru. One who teaches a person that material life is not done. Actually, material life is condemned in the scriptures. Unless one lives a God-centered life, his life is condemned. So guru is one who reveals to the disciple the truth about the nature of the material world. But one can, I think I should read a Prabhupada sentence, it will be more powerful to hear. Prabhupada writes, no one will be allowed to stay within the material world. Everyone will have to change his body and position. As long as one remains here, he will have to fight and struggle for his existence. We are very much attached to the material world, but according to Vedic system, renunciation is compulsory. That is the Prabhupada says. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this song. Anadi karma phale, paribhavarna bhagwale, paribhare nadeki upay. Anadi karma phale. Millions of lifetimes have been accumulating so much karma. Paribhavarna bhagwale. Bhavarna is actually the ocean of material existence. Now we have fallen into this whirlpool of material existence. Whirlpool is actually a very appropriate word. Because the whirlpool is something. As soon as you put your hand inside that, you will be sucked in. Miracle. So in this way, in the material world is such a place that you get lost there. You don't know who you are. What have you come for? You are just sucked into it. Sucked into the whirlpool of activities that are going on in this material world. And the necessities are increasing day after day, month after month. There is no limit to them. So he says, Karibare, Nandaki Upai. I do not know how can I escape from this whirlpool of material existence. So guru is one who reveals the truth about the material world to the disciple and he teaches him the path of detachment and helps him to see the other side of the ocean, which is the shore. That is the meaning of a guru. And here we are seeing how Devaki is coming to Kapila. Kapila is actually a small son and Devaki is a mother. Generally mothers don't like to hear from their children. Like when I go home to teach my mother, she takes the chanting, Hare Krishna chanting. She reads these books. She says, I have seen you right from your young age. I have raised you on my lap and you are coming and teaching me. They never want to hear from us. That is why always brahmacharis have a tendency. They bring their parents to the temple and ask other brahmacharis to preach. That is more effective. So generally parents never like to hear from their children. Who are you to teach? But here we are seeing mother Devaki approaching her own son, understanding his position. So the Vedas say that the judgment should be based on the knowledge, not on the age. Here we see, if you think that simply one becomes old, and he is considered advanced. When all the people who are above 90 years old will be Mahabhagavad devotees. But we don't see that. People who are 90 years old, they want to go to movies. Isn't it? And you see, Shankara took renunciation when he was 6 years old. Madhvacharya, he took renunciation when he was 12 years old. So age is no bar. We have to see who possesses knowledge. Chanakya Pandit says, if you find gold in a garbage, you should accept it. Similarly, if you see a very beautiful girl body, even in a family of lower kula, she should be immediately accepted. Similarly, he says, if you see knowledge available even with a shudra or somebody who is low born, immediately the transcendental knowledge should be accepted. There should be no hesitation for that. Similarly, somebody may be of very junior age, but if that person possesses knowledge, one should be ready to accept it. So that was followed by Devakati. We can take many examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a sannyasi in the renowned Dada, and he was a brahmana by birth. Still he accepted the advice from Ramanand Rai, who was a shudra and the householder, simply because Ramanand Rai possessed the Krishna tattva jnana. He had the Krishna Shakti, knowledge about science of Krishna he knew. This is the standard of Guru. Who can be a Guru? Yai Krishna Tattva Veti, Yai Guru Hat. Kibha Vipra, Kibha Nyasa, Shudra Kenana. One can be a Vipra, a Brahmana. One can be a Shudra. One can be a Sannyasi or a Grihastha, anybody. But if one possesses Krishna Shakti, Yai Krishna Tattva Veti, one who knows the Krishna Tattva, he should be immediately accepted as the spiritual master. You see in the story of Vitrasura also, Visharupa was very, very junior to the demigods. But still the demigods came to Visharupa and requested him to become the high priest. And Visharupa initially was hesitating, how can I take up the post? But all the demigods knew that although he is very junior, he is very qualified. He can take up. So Prabhupada writes that, but although one may be junior by age or by birth, if one is qualified, one should accept knowledge from such a person. So the standard of Guru should not be judged based on where he was born. Sometimes people say, it will be better if you can have an Indian Guru. They say, or take an American Guru. He has an American body. So they see based on the body, many people have this Jati Buddhi. So this Jati Buddhi is condemned. Or people ask, okay, your Guru, is he a Brahmana? Is he a Brahmana with birth? Then he is worth surrendering. But there are so many people coming from Brahmana families who have no qualifications. In fact, in Kaliuga, they said many demons are born in the family of Brahmana, according to Shastra. So sometimes they exhibit their demoniac qualities. We can see that practically in Kaliuga. How people born in Brahmana families, they are ruining the society. They have lot of scientific knowledge and they are taking society to hell. You can see that. So Guru should not be judged based on his class, creed, or color, or nationality. These are all wrong ways of seeing a Guru. If you see an engineer, do you ask his kula? Do you ask, are you a Brahman engineer or a Kshatriya engineer? Ask him. Ever ask him, are you, if you see a doctor? Before the doctor uses a stethoscope. Stop, are you a Brahmana? Before he touch me? Never ask him. Doctor can be anybody. You go for curing your disease. In the same way, one should see whether a Guru is possessing Krishna consciousness. Then one should find it to the spiritual master. And when should one approach a spiritual master? One should not go to a Guru for curing some diseases or ailments. Please cure me from stomachache or cure me from this particular dangerous disease. I have cancer, doctors have told me that I cannot be cured. I am going to die in 3 months. Please allow me to live for 30 more years. Guru is not meant for that. Our Guru is not meant for giving you some gold. Create and then take it. Guru is not meant for that. Some people think, you know, Guru can create some gold, create some ashes and give it. Thousands of people have become followers of such so-called gurus. Guru is not meant for that. In fact, creating gold, creating ashes is all simply mystic power, which has nothing to do with spiritual life. In fact, if one has performed a lot of tapasya, he can get mystic power. In a Hiranyakashipu, he performs so much penance, and he can't get all the 3 words. He will go anywhere. So you see Indrajit, the son of Ravana, he will disappear in one place and reappear in another place. So these are all mystic powers. Even Rakshasas can have it. So if a person in Kaliuga is possessing mystic power, can understand. He could be a Rakshasa also, but in human form. He may create ash, he may create gold, he may create anything. So it has nothing to do with spiritual life. Such a person is not a Guru at all. So one should not go by such things. When should one approach the Guru? Prabhupada says when one understands the nature of the material world. But the nature of the material world is frustrating. But one cannot become happy in this material world by any amount of material endeavor. And one should want to cross the ocean and achieve the shore, then one should approach the Guru. One should seek the shelter of the Guru. So here we are seeing Devahuti coming and saying to Kapila. She is telling Nirvinna Anugraha Movement, Asat Indriya Karshana. Asat Indriya means the material senses, which are actually externally present, which are causing disturbance. But these are only coverings upon the pure spiritual senses of the spirit soul. And because of this material body, we are disturbed, thinking also to be the material body. So she is telling Tarshanat means agitation. Because the agitation of the senses, I feel it disgusting. She is telling, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance, into a deep dark world. Please tell me what is the way to come out of this. Then she is saying, Tasyattvam tamasandasya dushparasya chaparagam. She is saying, Tasyattvam tamasa andasya. Andha means actually blind. She is saying, I am completely blind. I am unable to see what is what, where is what. I cannot see anything. It is the region of darkness. This middle world is the region of darkness. That's why we sing Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya. From darkness we should go to light. So she is telling, my eyes are completely blind. Tasyattvam tamasandasya dushparasya chaparagam. Paragam is a boat. Or even a person who is capable of taking us from one end of the ocean to the other end. That means the material world is this place where we are living now, which is one end. And the other end is spiritual world. So taking the suffering living entity from this end to that end, such a person is called as Paragam. So she is telling, Dushparasyate Paragam. You are the expert boatman who can take me from material world to the spiritual world. And then she says, Chakshur, Janmanamante, Laddam Meko Dhanagraha. She is telling, you are my transcendental eye with which I can see the truth as it is. So, Prabhupada says, this is the description of a spiritual master. That he is the transcendental eye of the desired. So, how do we see the things in the material world? What is our ability? We see through the Guru's eyes. The ideal disciple should see the truth through the Guru's eyes. And Sat Chakshur is actually, Sat means truth. Sat Chakshur means the real spiritual eyes. Those spiritual eyes are awarded by the spiritual master. That's why we sing, Chakshudan Dilodai. Chakshudan Dilodai, Janne Janne Prabhupai Uthi. So my dear spiritual master, who has given me the transcendental eyes to see the truth, I bow down to you and I am ready to serve you birth after birth. I am ready to serve you for all the lifetimes to come. So I always want to be your servant. This is the prayer of the disciple. So, this Divya Chakshur is very, very rare. Very few people have this Divya Chakshur. All of us have only two eyes. Externally seen. But all of you here, you have got the first transcendental eye. How do we know that? What is the proof that all the devotees have third eye, transcendental eye? What? Thanks for hearing about Krishna, yeah? How much is Santa Cruz Pitcher Master? Very good. Yes? The fact that you are really coming to hear more and more. That means your transcendental eye is opening more and more. The degree to which you are surrendering more and more. So this is Sat Chakshuru. You can see that in your own life, how the transformation is coming in your life. You can practically see that. As these transcendental eyes are opening more and more, your behavior, your thought process, the words that you speak, everything changes. People have transformed drastically in spiritual life. I have seen with my own eyes, boys who used to have long hair, big funk, they used to have, they used to wear jeans, they used to wear blue shirts, such people who used to be like Dada, they call them, Dada and their student community. Such boys, they have given up everything and they become very, very devoted. We have seen people transforming very drastically within the order of few years, becoming great devotees. So I became personally convinced that this transcendental eye is a very true thing. And although my transcendental eyes are not yet open, at least I am seeing people whose transcendental eyes are opening and they are becoming so advanced within such a short period of time. So the transformation is taking place from material life to spiritual life. tell to people how what a materialistic person he was. And how now, the same person, you can see the same in Mataji's also, Babaji's Mataji. Mataji is wearing jeans and shirt and having long hair and looking like a rowdy. And then you will find them wearing a sari or something and becoming very humble. Babaji's also, they wear dhoti, kurta and wear tilak. They start speaking very sweetly, bowing down one chakal for Tirupati, everyone, chanting chin drums, and they cry for their past life. How I lived my life, they regret so much. So the transcendental life starts opening gradually, little by little by little. So she's telling, you are my transcendental life, with which I can see. So the Guru also acts as a transcendental eye for the disciple. That is the duty of a Guru. Give such a transcendental eye to the disciple. Guru is not one who becomes sold out by the disciple because of the money that he may provide. The disciple may tell the Guru, every month I will give you 1 lakh rupees. Guru should not give him diksha. Okay, give me every month 1 lakh. And let us have a contract. I will give you diksha, you give me money. So Guru should not be like that. Guru should not become sold out by his disciple. Guru should only see the surrender of the disciple. One time, Bhagavan Sarasya was doing a Bhagavatam class. And he will ask for Srila Prabhupada was sitting and one another man was sitting. So he had given some big donation. I think he had given 25 rupees, I think. 250 rupees. In those days, 250 rupees means like 25,000 or something. Very big amount. So he had given the donation and then afterwards the class was going. And he was talking to Prabhupada, who was sitting by his side. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati was giving class. He became furious. He shouted at him. He pointed out his hand and showed him and said, do you think you can buy me with your money? Cut him. That's because you're giving me a donation, you think you can buy me with your money? If you're interested, you sit and hear the class. And he looked at Prabhupada and said, if you want to speak, you come and sit here and you give the class. He told them. So they were firing. So he gave a firing and made them understand the seriousness. Guru can never be bought with money. Because Guru is an Ishkinchana. He doesn't depend on anybody. If nobody gives money, Guru simply depends on Krishna. As we were discussing in the previous shloka, how Madhavendra Puri and so many Rao Dutra Brahmananda Vita. Similarly, a Guru is supposed to live such an ideal life. He should not be sold by money. He should not become a pet in the hands of wealthy people. There is a very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna, he says, Chedani kim patina sanse dishanti duksha naivam ripa parabrita sarayopa shishin siddhaduha kimajito vatino pasanna kasmat bhajanti kavayodana dharma dhanna. He says, as far as the dress is concerned, Chedani is a very high standard. Please do not get bewildered by the shloka. Meaning of the shloka is very profound. He is saying, Chirani kim patina santi dishanti dikshan. If you want a dress, one can gather some sandwich dress from anywhere, in the dustbin or whatever is lying in the street. And he says, Chirani kim patina santi dishanti dikshan. Naivang ripa parabrita sarayo position. And if one wants to eat or drink something, there are so many sarayas, water falls on the river. One can use his hands to drink some water, and whatever fruits are falling from the top of the tree, one can accept those fruits, and one can survive like that. And then he is asking, Ruddha Guha means Guha is the cave. He is asking, are all the caves closed? Actually, he is asking like an interrogation question. Are all the rivers dried up? There are no rivers to drink water? Are the fruit bearing trees not giving any fruits? Are there no torn clothes lying in the street which can be taken and worn? So he is interrogating. And he is asking, are all the caves closed that he cannot have any place to stay? And then he is asking, is there not Supreme Personality of Godhead who immediately comes to the protection of his devotee who is completely surrendered unto him? Is the Supreme Lord not available? Then, even all these things are available, then why should learned sages go and beg from those who are intoxicated by the heart and the wealth? He's asking, Kasma Bhajanti Kavayo Dana Durmadanda. Dana Durmadanda means Dana means wealth. Durmadanda means one who is intoxicated. Why should the learned sages become like a pet dog in the hands of wealthy people? So when I read this question, it was so touching to my heart. Repeatedly read it again and again. So I wanted to invite this person in my life. That I should never become sold out to people simply for the sake of money. So a sage is one, a true devotee is one who is a surrendered devotee of Krishna. And I have complete faith in him that Krishna will protect me. I don't have to depend on anybody. So such is the Guru. Guru should not become sold out. So, in this way there are many qualifications mentioned for a spiritual master. So we discussed a few today. We'll continue discussing more about the Guru next week, so that we can go more in depth about understanding the glory of the spiritual master. So before one seeks the shelter of the spiritual master, one should look for this qualities in the Guru. So when Guru possesses this qualities, and when Guru is capable of delivering the disciples from this material world and taking that to the spiritual world, then one should conduct to the spiritual master. And after we learn about the qualities of Guru, then we should learn about our qualification. What is our qualification? What do we need to take shelter? How to take shelter? What are the requirements the disciple needs? And then after the disciple takes shelter, what happens between them, between Guru and disciple? That will be one plus. So I think we should discuss that in these three classes. Let's stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Actually, these yajnas are generally recommended to increase one's pious studies. There are two things that happen when one performs yajna. When you perform general yajna, then one increases one's punya. One's pious studies increase in his account. But if one has committed some aparad, no, some kind of sinful activity, and one wants to counteract that, there are some parishara recollections or parishita. That is specifically done in order to counteract a particular kind of reaction. That is, like for example, they say, if you beat a cat, no, and half from the body of the cat falls down, then it becomes sinful. Then they have some parishita for that. That is, there are many things like that. But unknowingly sometimes you commit, isn't it? And it's in that thing, you offended a brahmana by scolding him, or you have for example, you have not performed Ekadashi, so forgetfully you have eaten grain from that grain. So we may sometimes knowingly and unknowingly commit some simple activities, and there are equivalent measures to counteract them because of prayasita. So yajna is performed in that connection also, for counteracting a particular type of sin. How it happens is also science. For example, if you committed a simple activity, then the Vedas say that one has to fast. One feels even from water. So if you perform the tapasya of fasting from water, suddenly your stomach suffers, is it not? One feels without water. You all must have got the experience of Nirjala Ekadashi. One feels fasting without water, it is really terrible. You are so conscious of the stomach all day. 24 hour consciousness. Stomach. Constant mind is going and again. Mind is moving all the time. Oh, saying, why are you troubling me so much? It is only because of other devotees you are controlling. Because other devotees will ask you whether you really fasted or not. So much trouble is there. But this much amount of pain which you are incurring in that is acting as a counteraction for the simple activity that you did. Because that simple activity will certainly bear a fruit by reaction. And the reaction means you will be given the pain. Before God gives you that pain, you voluntarily take it up. Isn't it? So it becomes a prayaschitta. That's the meaning of prayaschitta. So if you fast on Ekadashi day, of course the past reactions are also getting eradicated by that. But devotee is never perform any tapasya for the sake of counteracting that sense. Devotees are ready to take up the reaction of all the sins that they have. Now, if either of them lack the qualification, then the child cannot be born. If the husband doesn't have potency and the wife is fertile, then the child will not be born. Or the wife is not fertile, if she is barren, then the child will not be born. So both people need qualification. So what is the meaning of potent husband and what is the meaning of fertile wife? Both have to be understood. The disciple is said to be fertile. Fertile means the heart of the disciple should be so fertile that the seed sown by the spiritual master should be accepted to the disciple and should be further nurtured. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this beautiful analogy is given. It is said, Brahmande Brahmi Sekhone Bhagyavana Ji Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Bij. It is said, Brahmande Brahmi Sekhone, the living being is wandering over many, many universes. And after wandering millions of lives, he ultimately comes in the fortunate shelter of a spiritual master who awards him the seed of devotional service. So Krishna is watching every living being, the movement of every living being, and Guru or the Vaishnavas are also wandering all over the universe. But if there is one soul who is very sincere in his heart, wanting to get out of this suffering material world, he is sincerely wanting to become a devotee of the Lord, then the Lord makes arrangement for him to meet the spiritual master. Lord only takes him. He drags him to a particular portion, particular place where he can meet the spiritual master. And then there is a meeting between the disciple and the spiritual master. And the spiritual master enlightens the disciple about the knowledge about Krishna. And he tells about devotional service. And disciple, having heard the knowledge, he becomes very greatly enlightened. And gradually he comes to know Krishna. So it is like a cycle. Krishna, by Krishna we get Guru, and by Guru we get Krishna. That's how we get. So both Krishna and Guru are equally interested in somehow or other delivering this suffering living being out of this world. It is a joint venture. They don't work alone. Like Krishna, as soon as he sees somebody interested in getting out of this world, he puts them under the custody of the spiritual master. And as soon as spiritual master sees the disciple, he teaches him knowledge about the glory of Krishna, how Krishna is great. And then the disciple reads about Krishna, knows about Krishna's supremacy. Then he reads the scriptures, what Krishna says. And Krishna says, Acharya Mahi Janiya Na Avamanyeta Karhichit. He says, he tells the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Acharya Mahi Janiya, understand the Acharya or the Guru to be as good as myself. So Krishna is telling, you should respect your spiritual master. Do not ever offend him. Do not disobey his instructions. Then the disciple understands, oh, I should follow the Guru's orders. Then he goes to Guru. And Guru tells him, every morning you wake up for Mangalarati, bow down to Krishna, dance before Krishna, take Krishna prasada. And when disciple does all these things, then he advances more. And then again Krishna tells, there is no shelter in this world beyond the shelter of devotees. So always take shelter of spiritual master. So in this way, both of them reinforce the disciple's faith in Guru and Krishna. So it is a joint effort by Guru and Krishna. So when in this way a disciple is perfectly protected by the spiritual master and Krishna, then the seed of devotion can very quickly grow. What is this Bhakti Lata Beech? Is it Bhakti? Is it the seed of Bhakti that is given as devotion service? It is not the seed of devotion, because the Shastras also say that devotional service is not something that is awarded to someone. It is existing in the living being itself. It is the nature of living being to do bhakti. It is spontaneous nature of every living being to do bhakti. It is said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunal Shravanadi Shadde Chitta Karaya Udai. It is said, in the heart of every living being, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The Krishna Prema is an inbuilt thing in the heart of every living being. It is not achieved by any external means, it is said. That means every one of us have already got Krishna Prema in our heart. That is only hidden. Something like, if you have a red hot coal, burning coal, but it is temporarily covered with ashes. And when you blow it, immediately red hot coal will be seen on the surface. Is it not? In the same way, the love for Krishna is dormant in the heart of every living being. So when you chant Hare Krishna, gradually the covering is removed, the ashes. Then the love is seen. So to revive love of Krishna is the reality, and we are not acquiring love of Krishna. You understand the difference between reviving and acquiring? What is the difference between reviving and acquiring? Already it is there. Yes. You have to rekindle it. That's all. You are not acquiring anything new. That is why if you hear Prabhupada say, he says, chanting Hare Krishna is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is not an imposition. It is a natural energy of the living entity to chant Hare Krishna. So, it is very spontaneous for everyone to do Krishna Bhakti. But now it looks so artificial for us. It doesn't look so natural. That is because of the covering. Just like sometimes when you see the iron, iron ore if you take, you know. It is covered with so much dirt and dust. That even if you beat it, it cannot give any sound. It will behave as if it is an ordinary stone. But after melting it in a cupola, and you have casting, then you will see the properties of iron. In the same way, the soul is like pure water drop that comes from the sky. But when the water drop touches the ground, it assumes the color of the ground. If it is red, it becomes red. If it is black, it becomes black. It assumes any color. So we all are originally very pure, and we had Krishna Prema with us always. But when we came to this world, unfortunately, we came into Asat Sangha, or the three modes of material nature. So now we have become polluted. And we have become so polluted that we have forgotten our identity. We do not know who we are, actually. So, if Krishna Prema is already there, then what is the seed of bhakti that the spiritual master is giving? This seed of bhakti is the methods, rules and regulations of devotional service. So these are all called as, together in one unit, bhakti lata bhij. So unless you meet a very great devotee of the Lord, you never know how to perform bhakti. Actually, you are already a well-trained person in bhakti in the spiritual world. You know how to do bhakti. But having come to this world, you have forgotten how to do. So now you have to be given the apprentice training. You have to be given how to perform bhakti again. So ultimately, you are going to do the same thing in ecstatic platform. There are two platforms. One is called as sadhana bhakti, another one is called as raganuga bhakti. Sadhana and raganuga. Whatever you do in sadhana stage, you do the same thing in raganuga stage also. But the difference is, in sadhana stage, you are doing many of the services reluctantly. Or, you don't like them actually to do. But you are doing it out of force. But in raganuga stage, you are doing them spontaneously, with great love and devotion. That's like in the morning, how many of you like to wake up very early in the morning? 4 o'clock. Are you jubilant when you wake up from the bed? Most often you have a frowning face. What do I have to get up? Isn't it? So this is sadhana bhakti. When you do sadhana bhakti, you don't like to wake up, and you don't like to take cold water bath, and you don't like to sit and chant for 2 hours. It will be a very great task. But why do you do all these things? Because spiritual master has told you to do. So this is sadhana bhakti. But in raganuga stage, you will jump from your bed, and you will dance towards the bathroom, and you will take the shower, and you'll be a bathroom singer. You'll be singing in the bathroom, and you will come out. And while putting tilak, you will remember the spiritual master and you will glorify him for giving you the mercy of Krishna consciousness. And you will dance your way to the Mangalarti room, puja room. And you will dance in ecstasy, playing mridangam kartal, crying tears. This is raganuga stage. So these are two stages, sadhana stage and raganuga stage. So the spiritual master, as soon as he meets us, he gives us the seed of bhaktilata. That is called as the methods, rules and regulations. So as soon as the disciple gets it, what should he do? He should sow it in his fertile heart. First of all, his heart should be fertile. That means the disciple should be a good recipient. Jesus also gave the example. He said, if there is a barren land and if there is a fertile land, if you put the seed in a fertile land, it immediately sprouts. If you put it in a cement land or a barren land, it cannot have any effect. Similarly, understand, that even if one comes across a very great devotee of the Lord, still if one's heart is not fertile, one will not get any tangible benefit. So you should be having a very, very receptive heart, like a patra, you know, like an empty patra, empty receptacle. Then you can get the mercy of the spiritual master. But if one is going with yourself, that is full, already full. I told this story, the guru was pouring the milk more and more. If our heart is like that, what is the use? So the disciple's heart should be fertile, and he should sow the seed, and then he should start watering the seed. So the watering the seed is called as Shravana and Kirtana. That is watering the seed. Shravanadi, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karayavada, it is said. So by doing Shravana and Kirtana, what happens? Gradually this seed starts sprouting, germinating, and starts growing, and gradually starts coming up, growing further and further. This is the plant of bhakti. This plant has to be very carefully protected. And one should keep on doing shravanam kirtan every day. The more you do shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the more the bhakti will grow. And when that bhakti is growing, there is a danger. What is the danger? The mad elephant. may come and finish. Sometimes you see in houses they put plants, some goat or something comes and eats it, finished, it cannot grow further. In the same way, if a mad elephant comes and kicks this plant, the plant will be uprooted and it will dry up. So the plant has been protected. So what is the mad elephant? Anybody can say? There are many things that are compared to mad elephant. Essentially, not following the regulative principles properly. That is one of the most important things that is said. Giving up the regulative principles and living according to one's own whims and fancies. This is called as mad elephant. That means one has achieved the seat from the spiritual master, but still one does not have any gratitude. One doesn't know the value of it. So one is sometimes very, very relaxed in following the principles, and one is sometimes behaving according to his own whims without hearing from spiritual master properly. So that's compared to mad elephant. So just like this mad elephant is defeating this plan, similarly the bhakti lata can be uprooted. So what is the protection that we should do? What is the protection? We should make a fence around the plant. And what is the fence compared to? The fence is compared to the association of wonderful devotees. Like Narottama Das Thakur praying, Tandere sarane charana sevi bhakta sanne vas janame janame hoi yehi abhilash. He said, birth after birth I want to serve the devotees, the lotus feet of devotees. In fact, in the same song he says, Vaishnavera Padarenu Mora Panchagras. He says, Panchagras means we have five senses, the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears and the skin, sense of touch. He says, for all these five senses, what is my food? The dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. That is the only food. For the eyes, I should see the dust of a lotus feet of a Vaishnava. With the nose, I should smell the flower that is offered to his feet. With the tongue, I should eat the Mahaprasad of a devotee. With the ears, I should simply hear from him attentively. With the skin, the sense of touch, I should clasp his lotus feet. He says, this is the five engagements for my five senses. Vaishnavara, Padarenu, Mora, Panchagras. So this is the formula by which one can put a fence. So one should be always surrounded by very great devotees. Then he can never commit this aparad or Vaishnava aparad. So the mad elephant is also compared to Guru Ninda, the third offense to the holy name, which is offending the spiritual master. When will one offend the spiritual master? Only when one becomes proud. Like when one gets bhakti, and one advances in bhakti little by little, and one starts getting name, fame, one starts getting so many opulences, then one gradually can become proud and start thinking low of the spiritual master. Then when one offends the spiritual master, immediately Krishna withdraws the bhakti. One becomes like a beggar. So one should put a fence around. It's very, very important. So now, every day you are watering this plant of devotion by Shravanam Kirtanam, and you have put a fence also, you are surrounded by devotees. Is it enough? There is another danger beyond that. Yes, when you are watering the plant, you will also observe sometimes there are weeds, other plants which are sucking the water and they are growing bigger. And you don't know the difference between your plant and the weeds. Sometimes you become foolish to think the weeds are the real plant. So what are those weeds compared to? Those weeds are compared to many things. One is kutinati, diplomatic behavior. And jiva hinsana, or desire to kill animals, or being envious of other living beings. That is also called as jiva hinsana. And also the name, fame, adoration, distinction, profit, pujala, pratishta, all of them that come along with bhakti. See, bhakti doesn't come alone, along with that many, many other things come. See, beautiful illustration is available to us in Srimad Bhagavatam. You all know the pastime of Mohini Murti, isn't it? You all know the pastime of the Samudra Manthan. You must have heard in a Sunday program. So the Samudra Manthan pastime has a very, very deep significance. That explains to us how once upon a time there were demons and devotees, demons and demigods who were churning the milk ocean. So from the top, Lord Ajita was standing, is it not? In order to balance the Mandara mountain. And from the bottom, who was there? Kurmadeva was there. So both ways the Lord was supporting. And the Lord only gave the suggestion of bringing Vasuki and the Mandara mountain. So all these things go to show But ultimately, this is actually a deeper meaning also. Besides the pastime, there is also a inner significance to this pastime. It says that ultimately Lord is helping the devotee from all quarters to bring him back to the spiritual world. So Lord is in the top, Lord is in the bottom, Lord is sending Vasuki, Lord is sending Mandara mountain. And when the Mandara mountain fell on the demigods and demons, many of them were crushed. Then the Lord told, calls for Garuda to come and lift the Mandara mountain. And Garuda not only lifted Mandara mountain, he lifted all the demigods and demons and took them to the milk ocean. So this way, this represents something very deep. That means the Lord, along with his devotees like Garuda, he is helping the other living beings to become free from all the dangers of the material world. The asuras represent our bad qualities and the demigods represent our divine qualities. In all of us, we have these two natures, divine and demoniac nature. You all have observed it. Sometimes the divine nature comes up and you think, I have a aura around my face. Now I become a very saintly soul. And you walk very gently, speak gently. And at other times you become like an animal, passionate animal. You behave exactly like a cat or a dog. So we have these two tendencies in us. So they represent the demigods and the demons. So they were churning. This churning process, as dictated by Vishnu himself, is the chanting of the holy name. Chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So you are churning the ocean. That ocean is compared to the heart. When you are churning the heart, what happens? What did they get? Did they get immediately what they wanted? They wanted amritam, isn't it? They wanted nectar. But as they churned and churned more and more, what happened? First halahal came. Similarly, you will see, till you become a devotee, it will appear that your life is very peaceful. But as soon as you become a devotee, you will find varieties of problems coming in your life. Problems from inside, problems from outside. Problems from inside will be, problems from outside will be, there will be relatives, friends who will oppose you, they will tease you, you will become a laughing stock, people will ask you to stop spiritual life. Nobody will cooperate with you. Very few people, namely the devotees, will be your best friends. Nobody else will encourage you. From inside, there is lust, pride, envy, anger, all of them troubling us. The more you do bhakti, you see that more all these unwanted anarthas are coming to surface. And you start wondering, what's happening? I am doing bhakti, I have become more worse than ever before. This is no wonder, because if you lock your house and go to a faraway place and come after 1 year, the house will look very clean. But you take a jhadu and start sweeping the floor, all the dust will come up and you start sneezing like anything, sneezing and coughing. Just because you don't want to sneeze and cough, are you going to not clean the house? If you don't clean today, you have to clean it tomorrow. Sometime you have to clean it. Similarly, in Shikshashtakam he explains, Cheto darpanamarjanam bhavamahadavagni nirvapanam Cheto darpanamarjanam. He says cleaning. The cleansing process gradually removes all the dust accumulated for millions of lifetimes in our heart. So when you start cleaning the heart, all the dust comes to surface. And you completely go crazy, you wonder, what's happening to me? So in the same way, when the good qualities and bad qualities jointly in our heart, they chant by chanting the holy name, what happens? The halahal comes. And the large arrangement, the halal is taken away. We are saved from that, as Shiva drinks it. And later, when they started continuing to chant, what did they get? Do you know what they got? They got many, many gifts that came out. One of the gifts was Rama. Rama Devi was a very beautiful celestial being who came out with a beautiful garland in her hands. And all the demigods and demons were watching her. Who is this beautiful girl? And she came out. And where did she go? She went and garlanded Ajita, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. She garlanded Vishnu because she was the property of Vishnu. In the same way, many, many things came out, little by little, in the ocean. Dhanvantri came with the medicine. Like that, horses came, jewels came, so many things came. Airavat came. So all these gifts came, but the demigods did not enjoy them. Why? In the same way, in our life, you will see when you become Krishna conscious, many wonderful things will come to you. Who will you be? As Narada Muni promised in the Gari, if you are chanting, there is a statement in the scriptures, Anavritti Shabda, he said. Anavritti Shabda means within the Shabda, the chanting of the name, all facilities that you are aspiring for are all contained within it, within the seat of the holiness. Just like, say we have a civil engineer, like Shetty Prabhu is a civil engineer. He may be appearing to be like any other man, but you give him wealth and you give him some facility, he can construct a big bungalow skyscraper, 200 story building, in a few months, isn't it? So how could he construct this? Because of the knowledge that he learnt in civil engineering. So the Shraddha is the knowledge. He learns the knowledge and he converts the knowledge in the form of such facilities. Similarly, when one chants the holy name, it is said through the sound vibration one can create everything. You want food, food will come to you. You want facilities, facilities will come to you. Everything will come to you. You have to just keep chanting. We were telling in the recent times, in the past few days, in the temple every day we are seeing some Matajis and Prabhujis are coming, giving us grains, giving us sugar. In fact, we don't know when are they coming and keeping in the temple, isn't it? They are coming and keeping sacks of sugar and rice and other grocery items. We came to know later only that so many people have come and kept and their names were entered. So we were telling the devotees, you just chant the holy names, everything will come. You don't have to do anything. The Lord will send everything. So in this way, when the demigods and demons were churning the ocean, what came out? All the gifts were awarded to them. But although the Lord awarded them the gifts, He wanted to remind them that the gifts are not meant for their enjoyment. It is meant for the Supreme Lord. So they never touched the gifts. They gave it all. And then when they went on churning, ultimately the Amrit came out. Ultimately the pot of nectar came out. So the pot of nectar is the Amritam that we are all aspiring for. Anandamburivardhanam Patipadam Purna Amrita Svadhanam. And although the Amrit pot came out, what happened? The demons immediately took it and ran away. The last snare of Maya is that when you achieve everything, ultimately you want to become God. In the last snare of Maya, the demons took away the Amrit pot and ran away. The demigods are completely baffled. Similarly, you may do devotion years and years and years. Ultimately, you will go to such a high stage when you are about to get bhakti, the last allurement will be presented to you. What about this proposal of becoming God? Would you like to become God? The whole world will glorify you as God. What do you say? And if you say yes sir, that's all, you are doomed. Then you have become a demon. But if you say no, I am not God, how much ever I have become a big devotee, I am still that tiny infinitesimal living being. Then the Mohini Murti will come. What did she do? She intelligently took away. She is also Vishnu only. So Vishnu only can ultimately help us, Krishna only. So Krishna again comes and takes the Amrit pot and gives it back to the devotee. So in this way, as it is explained, these weeds are all there. They are growing along with this plant. So you should have the sense of discrimination to see which is weed and which is the real plant. And uproot the weeds as soon as you see them. Immediately. Do not allow them to grow. So what are these weeds? These weeds are, as I told you, some of them I told you, these are also the material desires, the desire for liberation, the desire for puja, lava, pratishta, all these things. All of these material weeds. So if you detect them, you should immediately remove them out. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, if we are chanting the holy name of Hare Krishna without endeavoring to avoid the offenses, then these weeds will grow. Otherwise these weeds can never grow. Why should the weeds come? We are sincerely trying to advance in spiritual life. If you are trying to chant if you are chanting the holy name without endeavoring to avoid the offenses, the 10 offenses, then the weeds will grow in the heart. That means you are taking chanting very cheaply. You just casually, just for namesake, you finish off the rounds. Then these weeds will come in the heart. And gradually they will choke the plant of devotion. And they will grow bigger. They will grow very huge. One fine day, before you can detect it, you will become fallen. So one should very carefully remove all these weeds. If one can carefully, in this way, sense, as well as remove the weeds, and the devotion creeper can grow further and further and further. And it can cross all the heavenly planets. And it will cross even the Viraja river. Raja means influence of the material world. Viraja means which is beyond the influence of the material world. And it goes beyond the Viraja river where Mahavishnu is lying. So it crosses even that and enters into the Paravyoma, into the Vaikuntha planets. And then ultimately it goes to Goloka Vrindavan. Where it starts expanding rapidly under the lotus feet of Krishna. And although it has gone to the Golakundavan, still the disciples should continue to water the plant here in this world. What does that mean? That means that when the disciple keeps on advancing in spiritual life, At one stage, he can clearly see the spiritual world, even while living in this world. He can see all the associates of Krishna. He can see Krishna. He can play with Krishna, dance with Krishna, and reciprocate with Krishna. And he will even know his own Swarupa. And even after knowing that, what should one do? One should continue Shravanam and Kirtanam. That means one should continue to water the plant. And when one is doing that, then the fruit of love of Krishna will manifest in the tree, which will take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet. This is the ultimate achievement for a disciple. So, in this way, the disciple should carefully advance in spiritual life. There are so many dangers that can come on the way. So, when we talk of a potent husband or a spiritual master, such a spiritual master is one who very carefully protects his disciple and guides him in his spiritual life. One of the duties of the spiritual master is to chastise the disciple when the disciple commits a mistake. So, we can see that the spiritual master is always looking for the mistakes in the disciple. Generally, we want everyone to glorify us, is it not? Whenever you see an equal God brother or a God sister, you want them to see good qualities in you. But when you go to spiritual master, what should you expect? You should very eagerly expect chastisement from him. Because spiritual master is the only one who can find out the real fault in our heart. And he can help us to come out of such fault. So, you can see when Vyasadeva wrote all the scriptures, all the Vedas he wrote. Then he wrote, Mahabharata, Ramayana, everything. And after writing all these things, he was feeling a great deficiency in his heart. And then because I have not sufficiently glorified the Lord. He felt like that, but he didn't know whether it was correct. So he was waiting for his Guru to come. As soon as he felt depression, immediately his Guru came. Who is his Guru? Narada Muni. Immediately appeared on the scene. Narada Muni came and as soon as he came, he asked his first question. A very deep question. He asked him, "Oh Vyasa, are you satisfied simply by identifying the soul with this mundane body and the mind?" He asked him. This question can be understood only by Vyasa. When I read this question, I could not make out what he says. What he means is, "Oh my dear disciple, you have written all the scriptures which are talking about karma kanda, yana kanda, all these different kandas. And you have never written about devotional service. And you have written so much karma kanda scriptures which are expected to elevate people to the heavenly planets. And they will go to heavenly planets, enjoy and then come back. Again they will go to heaven, enjoy and come back. Is this the purpose of the religion? Why have you not glorified the Supreme Lord?" Then Narada told him, "The reason why you are feeling despondent is because you have in a very less quantity you have glorified Krishna. Even in Mahabharata you find glorification of Krishna, there are pastimes. But they are very limited. In Mahabharata there are 1 lakh shlokas. But how much is Bhagavad Gita? Just 700 shlokas. Similarly in the Vedas there are 1 lakh verses. 1 lakh verses are there in all the 4 Vedas. But how much is talking about the path of pure devotion? Very, very rare. So that is why Narada Muni told him, this is the reason you are not happy. You simply glorify Krishna and talk about the path of pure devotional service. So you write the Paramahamsa Samhita, namely the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will become happy." And immediately Vyasadeva fulfilled his instruction. And by doing that, immediately Vyasadeva became overjoyed. So this person was enacted by Vyasadeva and Narada Muni just to show us how the disciple has to be always observed by the spiritual master and always corrected whenever he commits a mistake. Otherwise we can never make advancement. So one should be ready for chastisement from the spiritual master. In fact, if you get chastisement from somebody, it should be considered a sign of intimacy rather than a sign of punishment. One shouldn't see it as a sign of punishment. There are vivid examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I would like to quote one example. You all know the character of Jagadananda Pandit, you have heard? Jagadananda Pandit is very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself and Jagadananda Pandit is Satyabhama in Krishna Leela. Where we see, you all know the role of Satyabhama. Satyabhama, her mood itself is completely different. You must be knowing how when Satyabhama came to know that the other queen, Rukmini, she got a Parijata flower, then she also wanted Parijata flower. She immediately demanded of Krishna, "Get me a Parijata flower." So you may think, what kind of adamant relation is this? How can devotees behave like this? But only Krishna knows these kind of relationships. He enjoys a lot with these kind of devotees. Just like in your food, if you are eating very, very mild food, And if somebody gives you a lemon pickle in between, isn't it? Curd rice, lemon pickle is very nice, isn't it? You have eaten curd rice? Maybe South Indians must have eaten a lot of curd rice. But lemon pickle is very nice. Similarly, Krishna thinks, you know, all the time everyone is submissive, bowing down to him, you know, serving him. Anything he says, everyone is obeying. So Krishna also wants to have character, people who speak against him, who don't apparently obey him. And this gives a lot of joy to Krishna. So sometimes he would have such devotees like Satyabhama. Satyabhama would always get angry, and by her anger she would please Krishna. The same anger of Krishna and Satyabhama is reflected in the material world, in a perverted way between husband and wife. Sometimes husband purposely teases the wife, and when wife gets angry, husband feels great joy. He says, actually, no, I didn't say like that, I just was teasing you. So this is a perverted reflection, but in actuality it exists in the spiritual world. Otherwise in the family, if wife is always bowing down every day, submissive, there is no spice. One day she gets a little angry, and husband also becomes a little submissive, and she becomes again submissive, then that's a wonderful pastime. So in the spiritual world, Krishna acts as pastime. So the Satyabhama comes as Jagadananda Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit was a schoolmate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they used to study in the same school when they were going to school. So there are many pastimes in the school also. When they grew up, Jagadananda Pandit one day, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a sannyasi, he sent a pot of oil, very nice sandalwood oil, which can be applied in the body so that the pain due to dancing can be relieved. So he sent it with Mahaprabhu's servant Govinda, Guru Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and please apply it on his body, massage his body so that he can be free from pain. And Mahaprabhu saw that, he said, what is this? I am a sannyasi. A sannyasi is not supposed to enjoy all these facilities, luxuries. I don't want all these things. If he really wants to use it nicely, let him give it to Lord Jagannath for the lamb. At least there it can be used for sitting of the lamb. And when this came to the notice of Jagannath Pandit, he became so angry. He immediately came to Mahaprabhu's room. And he took the pot in his hand, and Mahaprabhu understood. He is very angry now. He said, you see, Jagannath Pandit, actually, you know, I didn't tell him, he was trying to explain to him. He said, who told that I brought this to you? I didn't bring it for you. He said that, and he immediately put it on the ground, and he broke it into pieces. So in this way, he exhibited a great anger. And later on, Mahaprabhu told Govinda, Jagannath is very angry with me. So he tells Jagannath that I will come to his house of prasadam, so he can feed me to his full satisfaction. So let me appease his anger. Then Jagannath Pandit was very happy that Mahaprabhu is going to come to my house. Next day he prepared a large feast. And Mahaprabhu went and he sat in his plate for eating. And he started serving more and more. And actually Mahaprabhu could not eat. But he could not say no also. But he was afraid he will become angry. So he went on eating. So in this way Mahaprabhu had a very sweet loving relationship with Jagannath Pandit. One time Sanatana Goswami had come to meet Mahaprabhu in Puri. At that time Sanatana Goswami had travelled long distances and had taken contaminated waters, due to which there were sores in his body. There were so many kinds of sores oozing out from his body. Liquid was oozing out. Pus was oozing out. So it may look horrible for somebody to see that. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, he never paid any attention to that. He ran to Sanatana Goswami and embraced him tightly. And Sanatana Goswami was crying. He said, Mahaprabhu, your body is so golden in luster, and my body is losing all pus and such nasty substances. Why do you touch me? Mahaprabhu said, Sanatana, I am embracing you for my own purification. You are such a great devotee. I think at that time only he quoted a beautiful verse. Akshno phalam tvadrisha darshanam hi, tano phalam tvadrisha gatrasangam, yakva phalam tvadrisha kirtanam va, sudurlabha bhagavata ahiloke. He said, the perception of my eyesight is to see a pure devotee like you. And the perfection of my body is to embrace a pure devotee like you. And he said, and the perfection of my tongue is to simply glorify a great devotee like you. For in this material world, it is very rare to find a pure devotee of the Lord. So it's a very, very wonderful verse. So he quoted this verse, Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu quoting this verse for Sanatana Goswami. Then Jagannath Pandit was observing from a distance. What is this? This man is always staying with Mahaprabhu, and every time Mahaprabhu is coming and embracing, it is not good for Mahaprabhu. His body is so beautiful and he is embracing such a dirty man. So every day Mahaprabhu would come to meet Sanatana and would embrace him. And this was very painful to Jagannath Pandit. So one day when Mahaprabhu was away, Sanatana was crying. He came and told Jagannath, see, Mahaprabhu is doing like this. Every day he is embracing me. So Jagannabani told, you are crying as if you are really concerned about it. If you are really concerned, you leave so immediately and go to Vrindavan. Don't stay here any longer. If you are really concerned that Mahaprabhu should not embrace you, then why are you staying here? Then having heard the strong words from Jagannabani, then Sanatana decided to immediately leave from there. So he was packing up everything, he was about to leave. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived there. And he asked Sanatana, what is this, where are you going now? He was packing up everything. He said, Mahaprabhu, I am very sorry, I am leaving for Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan now. Who ordered you to go to Vrindavan? He asked him. No, I had a discussion with Jagannabani. Jagannabani told me to go to Vrindavan. So I am planning to leave. Please give me permission. Then Mahaprabhu became so furious. He shouted at Jagannabani, who are you to give instruction to Sanatana? He is so senior to you. He is such a great devotee. You should take his association. Rather, you are giving an instruction. You have no right to do that. He became angry. And then he turned to Sanatana said, oh Sanatana, I beg you, please do not go away. I want you to be here only. Your association is most wanted by everyone. At that time, Sanatana Goswami said, Mahaprabhu, how fortunate is this Jagannabani Pandit that you are giving him the greatest nectar of your chastisement. And how unfortunate am I that you are giving me the bitter juice of bitter gall of glorifying words, he told him. So he considered the glorifying words to be like the juice of bitter gall. You have drank bitter gall juice? Karela juice. He said the sweet words that he gave Sanatana were like Karela juice for him. And he said, you are giving him so much chastisement, that means you are very intimate. He is more intimate to you than me. I am very unfortunate. As soon as Mahaprabhu heard it, he felt very, very embarrassed. He said, no, don't say like that. You are also intimate with me. So in this way, when one gets chastisement from Guru, one should not feel bad. Rather, one should feel a great joy. In fact, Chanakya Pandit says, Laliye Panchavarshani Dashavarshani Tadiye. What is the third line? Shodashaya Varshet comes. Putra Mitrava Dacharit, he says. He says, Laliyat means the first 5 years, how should you deal with your child? You should very much care as the child. Give lot of words of love. You should never beat the child. Those of your parents, please take a notice. If your children, first 5 years, you give ample love and deposit lot of love in their bank so that they will never leave you throughout their life. Of course, I don't know whether they become brahmachari, what will happen. They may love Krishna more than you. I think my parents also gave me so much love. But I had to compromise. I didn't know whom to love more, Krishna or parents. But generally Chanakya says we should give lot of love in the first 5 years. And then the next 10 years he says, we should take the stick. Dashavarshani, Tadaye. Be it left and right, that's a saying by Johnson. Spare the rod and spoil the child. If you don't show the stick, then the children will go in the wrong direction. They should be very much afraid. And then he says, after the 16th year onwards, what should you do? You should treat them like a friend. Like that you should treat. So spiritual master also deals with the disciples like that. Spiritual master, like Prabhupada, when he was sending different people to different areas, one time he asked Harishavari Prabhu, why should I send this devotee? So Harishavari Prabhu gave Prabhupada a suggestion, we can send him to Europe. And he told the reason why. This fellow can preach in Europe. It's not good to send him to Britain. If you send to Britain, this will be the problem. If you send to Germany, that will be the problem. If you send to India, this will be the problem. So better send him to Europe. So the disciple gave a good suggestion to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada inquired from him. So Guru may behave friendly with a very advanced disciple. And he may give a lot of words of love to a neophyte. So whatever Guru gives should be accepted as Guru's mercy. By the disciple. Whether it is encouragement. If Guru glorifies you, you should consider it an encouragement. If Guru chastises you, you should consider it as a great mercy, which is given. Just like the mother sometimes may slap a child, isn't it? Generally mothers don't slap a very young child. Sometimes when the mother is sleeping in the night, in the middle of the night the child wakes up. He starts crying, 12 o'clock, isn't it? She's laughing. So child starts crying in the middle of the night, she must have cried, I think. She remembers very much. And the mother, she doesn't say anything. She tolerates it. She wakes up, she clears up the stool. You have to properly wake up. It's not that you can close your eyes and do the things. You have to properly wake up. And you have to clean up the child, put on the light, go to the bathroom, wash the clothes, everything. By the time you come back, your sleep is gone. but a child is peacefully sleeping. Isn't it? You have to tolerate it, isn't it? But when you grow up, after growing up, when you are 10 or 15 years, again you do the same crying in the night, you will get a slap. Similarly, Guru also gives a lot of care in the beginning for the disciples. So Prabhupada was washing the plate of his disciples. He was cooking for them. After they grew up, Prabhupada said, now you cook for me. After they grew up. So he gave them good lessons when they grew up. The same way, disciples should be ready for anything from the spiritual master. Understanding everything to be master. And Guru and disciples should be very much ready to be defeated by the Guru. Generally in this material world, when you defeat someone, you feel very happy. Is it not? When you make an argument with someone, you defeat someone, you feel a great joy. I have defeated this fellow. But a disciple should feel a great joy when he is defeated by a spiritual master. That is very important. Like Prabhupada was telling, when I met my spiritual master, he told me that you go to the Western countries and preach in English language. And he presented an argument that who will hear Krishna consciousness? But then he immediately defeated me, saying that Krishna consciousness is transcendental. It doesn't depend on time, place, circumstance. It can be preached at any time. It's for all the time. So Prabhupada felt a great joy whenever he talked about his spiritual master, how his guru defeated him. So disciples should only always feel great joy when he is defeated by the guru. One should never try to defend one's statements in front of the guru. Like I remember one time in our temple, there was one devotee who was very proud of not eating sweet for some time. So all the devotees assembled in the Radhana Swami Maharaj's room. Then they were all sitting, and after the speech was over, Sanat Maharaj was giving sweet to everyone. So he was giving one by one to everyone, and the devotee who doesn't eat sweet, so he was actually hiding behind. And some devotees knew very well, because this fellow is not eating sweet for a long time. So they told Maharaj, Maharaj, this devotee doesn't eat sweet. So he stopped eating sweet. He stopped eating sweet, then he caught hold of his neck. And he brought him in front of everyone. And he took a big piece of cake and put it in his mouth. But he ate it. And the disciple was trying to pull this. He said, no, Maharaj, I won't eat. He said, no, you have to eat. The senior devotees told him, you have to eat. It's good for you. Because if the spiritual master wants you to eat, you should eat it. So he doesn't want to just put this small piece of cake in his mouth. He actually wants to defeat his false ego. Because he's thinking that I'm such a great devotee that I won't touch sweet. Simply by eating this much sweet, nothing will happen to your body. But it is simply sheer pride that you want to show others that you don't eat sweet. So he put it in his mouth forcibly. And the devotee has to eat it. And I am the devotee. So I was stopping sweet for maybe 2 months or so. So in this way, sometimes we may be defeated by the spiritual master. So we should submissively accept that. As a great master, he said, what is this? He hurt my false ego. Actually, spiritual master is supposed to play with your false ego and completely smash it. He is supposed to call you a fool and completely cure you of all your diseases. That is why the spiritual master is specially sent by Krishna. So, the spiritual master is constantly remembered by the disciple at all times. He never forgets him. In fact, when Talad Maharaj achieved ultimately the darshan of Narsingadev, and when he was seeing Narsingadev in front of him, he was remembering his spiritual master more than Lord Narsingadev. Because it was because of his mercy that he achieved the darshan of Lord Narsingadev. If it was not for his mercy, how could he have seen Narsingadev? Was it possible? That is why when Lord Narsingadev कृत्पात्मसात्सुरशिन भगवन् गृहीत सोहं कथं न विसृजे तव भृत्य सेवा हि सेड् एवं जनं निपतितं तव वाहि कूपे ओ माय लॉर्ड आई वाज फॉलन इनटू अ डीप डार्क वेल विच वाज फिल्ड विद स्नेक्स नेमली द मटेरियलिस्टिक एसोसिएशन ऑफ द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड आई वाज फॉलन इनटू दैट वेल हि सेड् कामा विकाम मनुय कपतन प्रसंगात आई वाज associating with demons who are constantly having unfulfilled desires and are trying to satisfy them. I was associating with such people. Kritvatma satsurashina bhagavan grihita. Grihita means to pick up. And you are great, tavakritya means you are great devotee. Lord Narada, he came and picked me up from this nasty association. And he made me as good as himself, is telling. Krit Swatma Sar. Atma Singh, just like him. He is a very great devotee of yours, and he made me also a devotee like him. He brought up the same quality in Soham Katan Visrije Tava Britta Seva. How can I give up my service to such a wonderful spiritual master? So please, award me the service to such a spiritual master. Let me not ask anything else from you. I simply want to serve him birth after birth. Like you say, Chakshudan Vilajay, Janme Janme Prabhu Seva. So he told the same thing. I simply want to serve him birth after birth. I don't want anything else. So in this way, the disciples should remember. So the Guru, as I told you, understands that the disciple has false ego and he has to give a medicine to the false ego. Is it not? So what the Guru gives the disciple, the instructions are considered to be something like a medicine. And this example of medicine is so appropriate. Because medicine is not liked by anybody. Who likes medicines? Any of you like medicines? You consume medicine regularly? Nobody likes medicines. In the same way, the spiritual instructions are not at all tasted by any of our disciples. Everyone hates them. But still, because of love for the spiritual master, one still hears those instructions and tries to follow them. So the medicine is given in varieties of forms. And the topmost form of medicine that the Guru offers, or the topmost gift that he offers the disciple, is the mantra, or the holy name. So every Guru offers a mantra to the disciple. The Mahamantra is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's the topmost medicine that he offers to the disciple. So the disciple should gratefully accept this medicine and take it in his life. There are three things that are said to be achintya in this world, inconceivable. One is a mantra, another one is a medicine, another one is a money or Navaratna. The three are said to be inconceivable. You know why? Because the Navaratna, they have a very special effect. Sometimes you have a problem from the graha, you know, to put this Navaratna rest. They tell you that you put a red color ratna or blue color ratna to wear it and they get free from the problem. And they really have an effect in your body, all these ratnas. If you take from a proper jyotish, these ratnas can have effect in your body. And they can cure diseases, they can even cure cancer. They can do so many things in your body. So how it does work, nobody knows. That's it called as achintya. Similarly, the medicine also is called as achintya. Like you put a tablet in your mouth and then goes down and you don't know what's happening inside. It goes and does something and you get cured of the disease. So it's also called as achintya. There are some herbs also. You know, some herbs by consuming which you can immediately get cured of the disease. And third one is the mantra. Mantra is also called inconceivable because one time in the North India, one of the medical colleges, outside the college, one snake charmer had put up some snakes. These snakes are ferocious snakes. They had teeth also. The teeth was also not removed. So he had kept them in baskets. And some medical students came out. And the snake charmer was telling them that I have put a spell on these snakes. So they will not do any harm. And the boys never believed in the mantra, in the spell. How is it possible? We don't believe in that. He said, if you don't believe, you see for yourself, he said. Then he opened the basket. And immediately the snakes went and started curling the legs, curling the hands, curling the necks of the students. And many of them started crying and running here and there. But they were opening the mouth, but they were not biting anybody. They were crawling all over the body, but they didn't do anything. So the snake charmer said, you see, they have the teeth, still they are not doing anything. Because I have put the mantra, he said. So there are mantras for snakes, similarly there are mantras for scorpion bite. If you see, for scorpion bite in villages, simply by a mantra they can cure the scorpion bite. You don't need any special medicine for that. Scorpion bite is the most dangerous thing to cure, and even by allopathy it is difficult to cure. But simply by a mantra they can cure it. So how the mantra works, that is achintya, inconceivable. Similarly, the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, also is achintya, inconceivable, because you just see the life of a person who takes this Mahamantra. The most degraded, most fallen of the living beings have become completely transformed within the order of a few months, and they have taken to such wonderful qualities. People who are rogues have become great saintly Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. Even in the ancient times, you see examples of Valmiki, how Valmiki became a great devotee. You see example of Mrigari. And in the modern times, you see the Western people, Prabhupada says how the hippies used to have very long hairs. It's not that they were degraded, they were coming from very good families, very wealthy families, well-to-do families, and they had good education, but they were not knowing the meaning of life. So they would grow long hair, they would smoke ganja, they would smoke cigarette, they would drink liquor and lie down in the middle of the street, and sometimes they would sing with guitar. They were living a crazy life. Tapa says, they were like Dharavesh. Dharavesh means long beard and long hair, looking very ugly. And when they became devotees, Tapa says how they completely shaved up, put a beautiful tilak, wearing kantimala, neck beads, by wearing the devotees' dress, dhoti and kurta. When they were dancing, they look as if they have descended from Vaikuntha. So this kind of transformation has come about in the lives. How is it possible? That is only by the mantra. So this mantra is the greatest gift that the spiritual master gives to his disciple. The disciple should receive it with very great reverence. And this mantra is glorified all over the scriptures. That is a wonderful prayer by Kulashekara. He prays, Shatra Chedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Sampoojya Mantram Samsaro Cheda Mantram Samuchita Tamasa Sanghanirjana Mantram Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram Jasana Pujaka Sandashta Santrana Mantram Jisve Sri Krishna Mantram Japatata Satutam Janma Savalja Mantram. This is Shatra Chedaika Mantram. It can destroy all the Shatrus, the six Shatrus. What are the six Shatrus? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya. All this, Matsmacharya, all these things. Shatru Chedaika Mantram. You can kill all these demons in our heart. Shatru Chedaika Mantram, Sakalam Upanishad, Vakya Sampujya Mantram. In all the Upanishads, the same holy name is glorified. That's the topmost mantra for this stage. And then he says, Samsara Uccheda Mantram. Uccheda means to uproot our existence from samsara. The samsara is compared to a huge vatavriksha. It's a huge tree. And what is this vriksha compared to? Action and reaction. So this Mahamantra can uproot this tree completely and finish all our action and reaction and burn them into ashes. Samsara Cheda Mantram, Samuchita Tamasa Sanghanirjana Mantram. And our heart is fully covered with so much of cloud of ignorance of our identity. It's completely covered with ignorance. And it can Samuchita Tamasa Sanghanirjana Mantram. Nirjana means it removes the veil of the layers of ignorance in our heart and allows a person to see his original identity as a servant of Krishna. And then he says, Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram. All the Aishwaryas are contained within this particular mantra. In fact, mantra and Krishna are non-different. That is why he says Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram. Krishna and his name are the same. There is no difference. So he says Sarvaishwaryaika Mantram. And he says, Vyasana Bhujaka Sandashta Santrana Mantram. All the pains and sufferings that we are suffering in the material world are all at once eradicated by the chanting of this holy name. And then he says, Vyasana Bhujaka Sandashta Santrana Mantram. Jikve Sri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam. He says. So he is telling, oh devotees, please chant this Sri Krishna Mantra repeatedly again and again and again. Always. Janma Safalya Mantram. Because this will lead you to the ultimate perfection of life, he says. So in this way, the mantra is very greatly glorified. So this is the greatest gift that the spiritual master gives the disciple at the time of initiation. So before initiation, also many of you are chanting the same Hare Krishna mantra. So this is considered to be something like 9th standard, 10th standard, 11th standard, 12th standard, where you are preparing yourself to get into IIT or to get into some engineering college. Yes, it is. It's a preparation. It's never a waste. Chanting even before initiation is a preparation for the point of initiation. At the time of initiation, the Guru formally offers you the mala and gives you also a name. So in ISKCON, the Guru and Shishya system is that Prabhupada was the Guru at the beginning of ISKCON and he had many, many disciples in ISKCON. Like there is Gopalakshi Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, Jatakata Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, Bhaktacharya Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj. Who can say some more names? Giriraj Maharaj, Jayadutta Maharaj, Chandramani Maharaj, Banu Maharaj in South India, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Yes. So all these are great souls. They are all disciples of Prabhupada and Prabhupada made a jointly governing body commissioner system. He told his disciples that all of you work together after I leave this world. About the Guru, use them as your spiritual master. For myself, I had seen many of them, even before I would not like to name them, but I saw many of them. But when I saw Radhanath Swami, I felt very inspired, so I took from him. And my friend, Nayanranjan Prabhu, he also was seeing many Gurus, but he got initiation from another Guru Maharaj. So there is no difference as far as the philosophy is concerned. The same pure philosophy is given. At the time of initiation, after you choose your spiritual master, you have to chant for one full year, 15 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, first 1 year you chant without knowing who is your guru. Only Prabhupada is your Shiksha Guru. He is a preeminent Acharya of ISKCON. And then after you finish 1 year, you choose your spiritual master and you chant for one more year, 16 rounds. And then when you become Pakka in chanting and you become fixed up, then you have to follow four regulatory principles. There are many rules and regulations you have to follow, which can be known at the time of initiation, before you get initiated. Then you go for initiation. And on the day of initiation, you will see there will be a leaf with a banana, a plantain, and till and all those things will be kept. And there will be a yajna conducted. In that, we offer a plantain into the fire of yajna. The plantain represents all the spiritual activities that we have accumulated. The big burden of sins that we accumulated on our back, that we have been carrying till now, that is put into the fire. And the guru takes a vow that I take away all the sins of this disciple. Krishna, please eradicate all the sins. And henceforth, this person is my disciple, and I become his father, and he becomes my son or daughter. And we make a joint bond that he will not commit any more sinful activities. And with your mercy, I will offer your mercy to him. So you elevate him in his spiritual life and take him back home, back to Godhead. So this is the vow that guru takes, and disciple also takes a vow in front of spiritual master. He takes the mala, he gets a new name. Why a new name is given? Because you are a different person from that day. You are no more the same person. Guru becomes your father. He is a real father. See, that is a father who gave you birth into this material world, isn't it? Who brought you into this material world by awarding you a body. He is the first father. But the guru is the real father because he is taking us back to Krishna. And the Shastra has become our mother. And all the Vaishnava devotees become our God brothers and God sisters. And if our Guru's God brother also has come, he becomes our uncle. And if he has a disciple, he becomes our cousin God brother, cousin God sister. So entire ISKCON is a family of devotees. So it should be treated as a family. Nobody should think, this is my Guru, that is your Guru, this is my God brother, that person has no connection to me. You will see that I asked some questions to Arunath Swami here in Bombay. He answers, and I went to Mayapur. Somebody else asked the same question to Acharyapad, Japatika Maharaj, he gives the same answers there. So this is a proof that the parampara is perfect. Whatever Prabhupada gave in parampara, they are all passing the same thing. So, one disciple should take this day of initiation very seriously and sincerely take up the new name that is given to him, and henceforward that word will be called by the new name. That's why you see Jayadevdas, Radheshyamdas, the names are given, the Jayadev Prabhu we call. So all these names are awarded at the time of initiation. So having taken initiation, the disciple should become fixed up in the path of devotion service. And the disciple is promising the Guru that I will never commit any more sins again. This is one condition that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demanded from anybody to whom he gave love of God. Even Jadai Madai, he took a promise from them. I will give you love of Krishna, but you should promise me that you will not commit any more sins. If you are going to commit sin, then you are finished in spiritual life. That you become the seventh offense against the Holy Name. Namno bala desai papa buddhi. Committing sin on the strength of the Holy Name. Nobody can save us. If you are maintaining an enjoying mentality after initiation, nobody can save us. We should become determined to give up the materialistic engagements of the material world. And we should completely focus all our attention on Guru's instruction. That is why we sing in the song, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitate Koriya Akya Ana Koriho Mane Asha. Says, my dear spiritual master, let me completely focus all my attention on the lotus voices that are emanating from your lotus mouth. Let me focus all my attention on your instruction. Let me not get distracted. Guru Charanam Puja Nirbhara Bhakta. You should be a complete Bhakta. Every part says the same thing. You should focus completely on Guru's instruction. That's very essential. If you get distracted here and there, you cannot achieve the ultimate sadhya, ultimate destination. So to the degree the disciple follows faithfully the Guru's instruction, he will take leaps and bounds in spiritual life. He can make tremendous advancement. And how should the disciple treat himself? There's a beautiful song, Vaishnava song. There, the Vaishnava is singing, Krishna se tumara, Krishna jitte paro, tumara shakati aache. He's saying,
Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ache. Ami to kangala, Krishna Krishna boli, pai baba pache pache.
He is telling, my dear spiritual master, Krishna se tomara. Krishna is your property and you are carrying Krishna with you. Prabhupada made a very wonderful pastime. One time his disciples were a little ignorant and Prabhupada wanted to teach them how the spiritual master should be respected. So he had a big, small toy of Krishna. So it was used by one small child, a baby. She was playing with the toy of Krishna. Prabhupada immediately took it from the hands and Prabhupada was hiding. He asked the child, where is Krishna? Child was looking here and there, he could not find her. She was searching all around. And she was so much anxious to see Krishna. She was blinking. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Prabhupada took his hand like, where is Krishna? He asked. Prabhupada, Krishna is with you, she said. So Krishna is in your hand, she said. And then Prabhupada released her and gave Krishna to her. So now I give Krishna to you, take it, Prabhupada said. Indirectly he taught a very deep lesson. He wanted to show that Krishna is actually with the spiritual master, with Guru. So the disciples should know that Guru only can award me Krishna. I cannot approach Krishna directly. So he is saying, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakti ache. All the strength that I have with me, the Krishna Shakti I have, is all coming from you, my spiritual master. Amito Kangala, I am simply a beggar. Krishna, Krishna, boli. Dahitava pache pache. I am crying out, Krishna, Krishna, and running behind you. And you are marching ahead, going towards Krishna. I am running behind you, calling Krishna, Krishna. I am exactly like a dog that is battering the door, calling at your door, begging for Krishna. And you are capable of awarding Krishna to anybody. So please give me Krishna, like that he is praying. So in this mode, the disciples should serve the spiritual master with full sight. As we said, yasya deve parabhaktir, tata deve tata guru, tasyaite katidasyata, prakashante mahatmana. For such a disciple, the knowledge, it is lit up in the heart of such a disciple. He becomes immediately enlightened. You see, he has developed a complete faith in Guru and Krishna. So a disciple should gain proper knowledge and serve the spiritual master with full devotion. That is why it is said, Vasan Danto Guru or Hitam. Disciple who lives at the Gurukula is living only for the benefit of Guru. He has no other work in the ashram. His body, his mind, his words, they all are considered the property of Guru. So it is not only for brahmacharis, even grihasthas living outside. They will do their job in the day, but then morning and evening they should be constantly meditating on how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Our Jayadeva Saraswati Mataji's family is an ideal example for this. We are constantly meditating how we can expand Krishna consciousness everywhere. We will ourselves preach, we will bring preachers to preach, and we will conduct counselor program. Let us give this knowledge to hundreds and thousands of people. How to assist our spiritual master in expanding the movement of Krishna consciousness. This should be the meditation of the disciple, always. So the disciple should become property of Guru. He should become like a toy in the hands of Guru. So that, like, what is the meaning of a toy? Toy can be played in the way the child wants to play. Similarly, one should allow the Guru to use his will upon the disciple, to exercise his will and use the disciple in the way he wants to expand the movement of Krishna consciousness. Then such a surrendered disciple can manifest tremendous Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tare Parvartani is a statement made in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So such a disciple can become a very useful instrument in Guru's hands in taking Krishna consciousness to the entire world. So in this way, the disciple who preaches upon the order of the Guru and is exhibiting all the necessary qualities of a disciple. Such a disciple as well as the Guru, both become very joyful. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. The example is given of Arani sticks. You know Arani? You take two Arani sticks, in the 11th canto the example is given. If you take Arani stick and if you upgrade like this, then there is a heat generated in the center. That heat burns both the top stick and the bottom stick. So the bottom stick is compared to disciple and top stick is compared to Guru. And when a potent Guru and a potent disciple come together, then when the Guru gives the transcendental knowledge, that becomes pleasing to both. Both of them feel a tremendous transcendental joy that springs in their hearts, both Guru and the disciple. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So this relationship between Guru and disciple should be properly understood. And with this proper understanding, if one executes Krishna consciousness, then in this very life one can go back home, back to Godhead. Guru is said to be like a captain of the boat. The analogy is given, beautiful analogy. Like there is a big vast ocean where there are roaring waves, and there is a huge ship in that. And in that ship, there are hundreds and thousands of people with arms raised, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In that ship, there is a flag. In that flag, Lord Chaitanya with his Panchatattva says, he is dancing. And who is the captain of the ship? Srila Prabhupada. And along Prabhupada, there are many of his associates standing with him. And the ship is roaring in the ocean, and it is marching ahead very fast in the ocean. And down below, we are seeing there are so many people who are there is a beautiful sloka. Kastam pranadritya prana chinta. Anybody knows this sloka? It's in the first canto, very beautiful sloka. Shruti Pashu Nasatim Nama Kurya. He says, how in this ocean of Shruti activities, many living beings have become trapped. They all are crying, bitterly weeping. So the compassion of a Vaishnava is very much wanted for these living entities. So Prabhupada's compassion is flowing through his disciples and further down. So those who are already in the ship, they all are feeling mercy and great compassion for the people who are getting submerged in the water. So these people are throwing the ropes. What are those ropes? They are the Krishna conscious books of Prabhupada. They are throwing, they are giving them books, they are giving them prasad, they are doing Harinam Sankirtan, they are opening temples, they are arranging programs, giving prasad packets. And telling them, please, pick up, we will get you off the ship, don't worry, you can be saved. Those who are intelligent, they are catching the rope and they are coming up, and they are saved. And the ship is marching towards the seashore. Ultimately, all these people are going to be taken back home, back to Garden. And this way, everyone can be saved, this age of Kali. So, we should take full advantage of the greatest opportunity and mercy that is awarded to us, so that we don't miss this opportunity. I was telling in another place, just consider, if you miss this opportunity in this life, you have got such a wonderful association of devotees, a big body of devotees. So we can discuss with them, we can chant, we can hear, we can read, take prasad and easily advance. But if you miss the opportunity, next lifetime we don't know where are we going to be born. I was telling, if you are born in Congo Forest, imagine, there will be nobody to give us association. So we should not miss the opportunity. In this very life, we should become fully serious and become ready to dedicate ourselves. In whatever ashram we are, we should become completely dedicated. We should not have reservations. We should understand better and better and dedicate more and more and more. ISKCON is one organization where we really see dedication. In front of our eyes, we can see dedication. People, husband, wife, sometimes we are stunned to see them. Wife is doing dress for the Lord, she is doing garland, she is washing the floor, she is doing cooking in the kitchen. Husband is running here and there to do money collection, or he is selling agarbattis, or he is promoting Prabhupada books. Sometimes even foreigners, they work so hard in our organization. So our organization is a very ideal example of how, right from Prabhupada's time, even today we can see, because wherever we live, in whichever ashram we are in, we should show our dedication more and more. I say our dedication, when you become more dedicated, don't worry that your body will become thin and you will not be able to survive, your material life will be affected. Do not worry at all. You will become actually, in great excess, you will become more stuck. By doing more service, you will feel a great joy. And the joy is inexplicable. You cannot explain. The joy of giving Krishna consciousness to others. The joy of serving Krishna always. So it's my request to all of you. We spend so much time in this guru and disciple only for the fact that we have to all become dedicated more and more, and help Srila Prabhupada and his followers to promote this movement everywhere, at least in Pune, not speak of other parts of the world. Let us worry about Pune. Let us spread this movement all over Pune so that we can have a bigger temple and we can have a bigger congregation. And every nook and corner, nobody should be there in Pune who has not yet uttered the word Krishna. So that is certainly can be made possible if we all become very dedicated. Prabhupada said, one, Prabhupada said, if I have 18 dedicated men, I will take over the entire world, Prabhupada said. You may wonder, how can 18 people do? What can 18 people do? But Prabhupada really meant it. You have one dedicated man, he can do wonders in the world. So that is why every one of us, if we become dedicated, we have how many here? 65 within a time. So 65 people probably can take 2-3 worlds. Can take over so many worlds. So it's a prayer to all of you that increase your chanting of Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada books more, come regularly to classes, go ahead and arrange spiritual life to the point of initiation.